Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today, for the brotherhood that we share in Jesus Christ, for the family of the household of God that each one of us are as believers in Jesus. And I pray, Father, that you will present this message in a way that will be well received and that will be well heard from you and that will encourage us to be your people in a world of darkness in greater ways. In Jesus' name, amen. So Tricks Not Treats is the title of the message. And Satan loves to give us all, saved and lost people, tricks and not treats. Satan wants to deceive us with his tricks, with his lies. He wants to get us off track. That's a constant warfare. When we receive Christ as our Savior, we've signed our name, so to speak, to be enlisted in the battle, the spiritual battle of the world that we live in. The enemy of darkness is always against us, the evil one. In our Lord's Prayer, speaks about deliver us from evil as in reference to the evil one or Satan, that we are up against the warfare of the enemy as we follow Christ. And the more we stand for Christ, the more the enemy will attack. But as you grow in Christ and you learn to stand in Christ against the attacks, you'll see the attacks hit with more confidence. You'll say, I can stand strong in Jesus through those attacks. Does that make sense? So we learn through the experience that God gives me grace to handle the attack. We don't have to run in fear from the attacks, because that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to run away from God so that he'll back up and back off from us. Satan wants to keep us from knowing the Lord, of course. You've heard me say it many times from the pulpit, that if you're lost, Satan will do his best to try to keep you from receiving Christ. And the same is true that after receiving Christ, Satan will do your best from being committed to Christ and following Christ. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want God to get the glory through our lives. And as we live for Christ, God is glorified. And the enemy doesn't want that. And so we need to just remember that as we love the Lord, that as we rely on him, as we yield ourselves to him and not the enemy, that we are bringing glory to him and he's working through us to reveal himself not only to us but to others as they see us rely on his power in our lives. So Satan's number one trick is a lie or lies. Satan loves to lie. He's the father of lies, Jesus said. He's the one that is a master at lying. He's a master of manipulating the concepts that he wants us to hear that will direct us from God. And one of the things that he does often is he will take a little bit of truth and mix it with a lie. That's why when so many Christians that have been pulled away from the Christian faith into a false or pseudo-Christian religion, is because they hear someone knock on the door and they share something that they might even open up their Bible and they share something that rings a bell. Oh, I heard that at church. It must be a good church that you're talking or representing, right? And the reality is they get other things taught that are not biblical, and because they don't know the word, they said, well, there was good there. I heard it, I saw a Bible open, and so what they're teaching me is all true. And it's not always the case, is it? We as Christians have gone door knocking, knocked on doors, but we're trying to present the truth. But there are pseudo or false religions out there that want to mix the truth with a lie to bring people out of the relationship that God wants them to have. We're saved by faith, not by works. Least anyone should boast. And so we need to be aware of that. And there are unfortunately, so many young believers in the Lord or believers that just have not been discipled or have not grown or have not learned the truths of God's word enough to where they can stand up in their armor of God, their spiritual armor, and say, that's not what God says. You're not going to convince me I'm not saved because I'm not doing what you say. So forth and whatnot. We have the word of God as our sword and truth that holds us up against those tricks of Satan to convince us to walk away. Many have been led astray. It even talks about that in the future, that many will be led astray by those that claim to represent God. And we'll look at that later. So Jesus revealed that Satan's number one tactic is to lie. In John 8:44, it says you. Now I want to stop right there. In context to this scripture, the you is in reference to unbelievers. And you'll understand why in a minute. The first time I heard this verse, it shocked me. It threw me back. It was something that was offensive to me almost. Because it says here, you, the unbeliever, are of your father, the devil. Stop right there. As a non-believer, I heard that you, or even I, at the time I was a Christian, but the first time I heard this passage of scripture, I realized there's a time I wasn't a Christian, and you're telling me that because I wasn't a Christian, that my spiritual father was the devil, Satan himself. And I go, that is not true. But yet the word says it is. And it's not because I chose to look at him or adopt him as my spiritual father. I had no spiritual focus that way at all. It's not like I joined a cult or joined a satanic group to honor and worship Satan. It's not that at all. What Jesus is saying is that anything taught outside of me and my word, and as a non-believer, you are under the strong influence of Satan. That's what's being talked about here. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Now, praise God that you and I, as believers in Christ, know that our Father is our Father in heaven. Amen. And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And so he's speaking, John's speaking to the religious leaders of the day, but he's also speaking to the lost. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. When we say someone is very worldly, we're really saying they're not living godly. Aren't we? Worldly represents darkness. Darkness represents sin. When a person is worldly, then they're living in a dark atmosphere. Non-believers can't walk in the light, don't know the light, because they're not saved. Believers know the light, but they have to choose to walk in the light, or else they will choose to walk in darkness. Not loss of salvation, but darkness. There are many Christians that fall away from the Lord because they choose to accept the trick of Satan that Satan will say, I have a better way for you than what God says. Oh, you don't like what God says here because that's infringing on your, let's say, freedom or liberty. But the lie to that is this, that in Christ Jesus, we find freedom and liberty. We don't find the constraint, even though you think this is just the law. Or you just think the book of rules. The principles of God's word, when applied to our lives, literally gives us freedom. Amen. And as we learn that, we rejoice in Christ. And it says in this verse that Satan was a murderer from the beginning. He wants to destroy our lives, whether lost or even saved. If you're lost, I want to destroy you. I want to dangle everything the world has to offer you and convince you that's the best way to live, only to find at the end of your life that you're waiting in Sheol, or hell, not the lake of fire, but hell, waiting for God's judgment. Or for the believer to come to the end of the life and say, I'm so uncertain, or I know that I've missed the boat in the sense that I've not lived my life for Christ, and that becomes more of a realization. And so you are the father of your devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. As a believer, you and I are believers, know that the enemy, Satan himself, the evil one, constantly wants to lie to us in a crafty manner that, compelling to our flesh, will almost taunt us to say, that makes sense. That's logical. I think I can buy into that. And what we have to do is say, but God said no. Or we have to do is say, I know the Spirit of God is telling me differently. And we have to choose to say, I choose God's word. I choose what the Spirit of God is compelling my heart to do. And we have to deliberately be discerning and focused that way to listen to God, to walk and step with him in the light and not be pulled into the darkness that robs us of the fullness of life. That's the trick. Jesus is giving us insight to the character of Satan. The lie is the core of the devil's character. That's who he is, a liar. He is the most dangerous deceiver of all. He even deceived himself to believe that he could become God above God Almighty. He deceived himself to believe that he deserves the throne of God himself, even though he saw God in all his glory. He believed enough to say to the angels and convince the third of the heavenly hosts to fall in sin out of their choice and follow him. He is the great liar. He's the great deceiver. And you and I need to be, I don't know if the word is eschewed, but we need to be fine-tuned to that spiritual warfare so we can walk in the light that God has us to walk in, right? I want to look back at an example in Genesis 3:1 of Satan doing his number one trick, which was what? To lie. Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord, God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? See, he's twisting it around. It's a beautiful garden. Has God really told you that you can't eat of every tree? And we know that God said you can eat of every tree except that one. And so they yielded to that. And she yielded to that. Satan's first attack is a lie that is leveled, that means put down, by the word of God. Right? From the beginning, Satan has tried to undermine God's people by undermining God's word. You do not realize, maybe you do, I can't assume that you don't realize, how many Christians will, when they come across something that applies to their life that they don't like, will embrace the logic of why they should not yield to what God says to do. They will simply say, I don't like what's said, and so this rationale that I'm thinking really makes more sense than what I'm being taught. And they yield to the lie, and we have to be aware of that. From the beginning, Satan's tried to undermine God's people by undermining what? God's word. Satan can undermine just as effectively by getting us to neglect God's word as by getting us to doubt it. I doubt that's what God really means. Is part of his tactic, but the other tactic or his trick is to neglect God's word. I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to listen to it or whatever. I'm going to get away from the word of God, or I'm going to doubt the reality of God's word. And so we have to understand that that's some of the ways that Satan works. Satan's lies come to us through others we know and even religious leaders, as we saw when we read in John 8:44. That's why we need to know the word of God. We need to know the word of God. That's our protection, our shield. Okay, we need to know whether we are being deceived or not, even by those who appear as angels of light. Oh, those people are so nice, and they have their Bible, and they're good people, because I can tell by their character. It's not the point of evaluating the person. It's evaluating the truth. That's important. And we have to be equipped to know the truth. And so there are some that appear as angels of light that draw people into what appears to be a truth that's really a deception that leads to a lie and that robs of life in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, it says, anyway, they are no more than false apostles and dishonest workers. They only pretend to be apostles of Christ. And it is no wonder even Satan tries to make himself look like an angel of light. So why does it seem strange for Satan's servants to pretend to do what is right? Someday they will get exactly what they deserve. I'll remind you of a kind of a sad joke. It's not real funny, and I don't tell jokes well. But there was this person in this church that always fell asleep during the service. I'm not looking over there. And and so the pastor was getting kind of frustrated about that. And so it's our fix, their wagon. So the service starts, and the person falls asleep. And so all of a sudden the pastor says, "All of you that are going to hell when you die, stand up." Well, the guy that was asleep, and he heard "stand up." So he stood up, and he looks around, and he sees people sitting down, and he looks at the preacher, and he says, "Hey, preacher, how come you and I are the only ones standing?" Ooh. You know the sad thing about that? Is that there may just be preachers that don't know the Lord. That answered not a calling, but a desire maybe to go into Bible college and to learn, but never have really known the calling of God on their life or never really given their life over to God. They just got academically trained for that position. There may indeed be people like that. So there are servants that pretend to do what is right. Okay, there are servants of Satan that pretend to do what is right. We've had people in church over the years and the years of ministry that have been in church that after time you say, they're a divisive person. They're being prompted, either they're saved and they're being prompted to be divisive, or they're actually not saved and they're in church pretending to be saved. And you know, we don't want to make those judgments, but at the same time, we have to be cautious about the tares that are amongst the wheat. We have to be cautious because they do intermix. If the rapture was to happen today, I don't think we would be surprised that there may be those that weren't raptured. Maybe we would be surprised. I should say it that way. And so we have to understand that we are to be careful about Satan's tricks. In other words, Satan has servants who profess enough truth to join the church or even lead a church, and from inside the church teach doctrines of demons. You need to understand that Satan plants his servants even in the church body. And we're not to be looking around and saying, well, that's what that is. No, the truth eventually comes out. In 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." It's like the person, the young believer that's not grounded in the Word, that has a representative of a pseudo or false Christian cult coming to their door and sharing what they believe to be, well, it's coming from the Word, it's got to be right, and adding to it to deceive them. Christians can be deceived and led into things that are not right. We know that in our personal walk, but we can also know that even in the element of which church or which belief system that we are involved in. Demons want people to depart from the true faith that God has revealed. This would include the denial of the basic truths of the Christian faith. I think that's one of the key things. Who is Jesus Christ in your faith? Oh, he's Satan's brother. Ding, 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 ding. No. Right? Who is Christ Jesus? Oh, he became God. He was a man that became God. Ding, 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 ding. No. We have to know the Word of truth to be able to spot the lies that Satan interjects before us and what appears to be angels of light. This is the truth, but people take that and can mix it up. I had a couple in here not long, well, maybe a year or two ago, and they were flipping through their Bible all through the message. And that's okay. So, well, good. You know, they're serious about what they're looking at. And then after church, they told me, you know what? You're wrong for preaching out of the Old Testament. Only the New Testament. Well, that wasn't true. They'd been convinced of a lie. Because from Genesis to Revelation is the story of Jesus, whether you've seen that or not. And it's a complete message from God in His Word. We can better understand the New Testament by knowing the Old Testament, and we can better understand the Old Testament by seeing the New Testament. And they join together as a main message to all of us. And Jesus warned about evil people inside our churches. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Beware. Be alert. Be concerned. If you hear the ding, ding, ding and the red flag come up because something doesn't sound right, beware. Watch and listen. And we don't like to think that that's the truth, do we? We don't like to think that that's a possibility within our churches. But God is telling us to beware of that, right? Wolves in sheep's clothing are usually in every church at one point or another. One point or another, through ministry, I've seen people in church that were simply up to no good. Either they were believers that were convinced that this is the way they should do, or they were non-believers that Satan was using. I've seen it. And so the best way to tear things apart is from the inside, right? And we see this principle today in our government. We see it in schools. We see it in our families too. And many times when the attack comes from the outside, we can identify it clearly and we stand up quickly to attack it. We should, right? That's what happened in 9/11. We saw the external attack of our enemy against America, and we stood up as a nation against it. Okay, that became a focal point, right? But now we see internal affairs of government, schools, etc., that are being manipulated to cause problems, and we also see that in the church. Satan will stir up strife in the church to cause us to have conflict, to keep us out of focus on the will of God. So when the attacks come from the outside, we stand up and fight together. When the attacks come from the inside, we start fighting against each other. We see that everywhere. So we just need to be mindful of that. Satan also likes to trick us with signs and wonders. Hold on and think about this. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. The coming of the lawless one, Antichrist, right, is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. How many of us have thought lately or think that we are in the last times, the last days? Okay? Some think we're close to it. Some think we're in it. The reality is that we're aware that where we're at, that these days that we live are bad. And so Second Thessalonians 2:9 tell us? It says, when Antichrist comes, the lawless one, Satan, will use signs and wonders to trick the masses of people. What did Jesus do? He worked wonders and miracles as a credential of his deity. Satan wants to mimic God. He wants to be God. And so in that, he will mimic through the Antichrist, through other ministries, frankly, of those that are servants of Satan within the churches, to present powers and wonders that people say, that's got to be God. And the key is you and I have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and we have to be keen to the Word of God. It's so important for us in order for us not to be deceived, right? And so Matthew 24:24, it says, For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. And when you read the whole chapter of Matthew 24, we'll see false religious leaders. We'll see a time on earth when there's violence, international conflict, famines, natural disasters, an expansion of general rejection of morality and law by people, or lawlessness of people. It'll be a time when we see nothing but liars. And we and who can actually perform miracles and lead astray those who have identified themselves as Christians. Faith healing is not a lie. It's biblical. But faith healing has been used by those that are liars. There are some that have manipulated faith healing for the moolah, for the money. Faith healers say, here's my hand on the screen of the camera. You put your hand on the screen of the TV and you'll be healed. See, that's pushing the envelope. And when we start seeing the red flags of where the focus is to give, you know, almost in the same breath, now give to this ministry, it's kind of a red flag. Now, not all faith healing is not, I mean, there are faith healings and people that have the gift of healing, even in our own community, that have the faith of healing that we know is from God. But be aware, just because you see signs and wonders, healings, power, these things can be manipulated outside of the power of God. And it can deceive even the believer. I don't want to be deceived. And I hope you don't want to be deceived by Satan, right? So since our current times seem to have these physical signs increasing, be cautious of religious leaders who perform miracles. They may just be another trick of Satan to lead you astray. The key is to see if those miracle workers are teaching God's truth with their miracles or not. Truth is the barometer in which we can identify if things are of God or not. But we have to be keen to the truth of God's word. We have to be keen to that. There are legitimate miracles today who know the word, practice God's gift, but also are cautious. And they need to be cautious that they are not directing the attention to themselves, but to God and his power. We as Christians are called to depend on the Holy Spirit and God's word. And in doing so, we prove what people are saying or doing, if it's really from God or not. The barometer tells us those that look good, sound good, and even mix good in with a lie, we know the lie is there because it contradicts God's word. Whether they're knocking on our doors, whether they're preaching on TV, whether you're in a church service somewhere, we can identify those red flags as we give ourselves over to God. In Matthew 7, 22 and 23, it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So if you're thinking me talking about those that do miracles and wonders before you as being kind of out of touch, that's not real, that's not something to be concerned about, Jesus and his word shows the concern. Jesus will say to many, I never knew you, depart from me. How sad is that? What deception do many have to think that they were saved and did a lot of works in the name of Jesus that really weren't saved? There will be those that are in that situation. The problem was not that the signs and wonders were not real, but that they were done in the service of sins or the service of Satan. Satan does real miracles. He can bring real calamity on people's lives. Look at Job. We can see what Satan can do in the scriptures. Right? But we need to be, again, aware of the fact that he's the one that does it for his own purpose. His own motive is demonic and deceiving. Luke 13:16 says, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years she loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. Now think about that. What's that verse talking about? Do you remember? The woman with the issue of blood for 18 years. What's it say? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. Satan, whom Satan has bound. Physical illness, for 18 years was can be an act of Satan. Not all of them, but it can be an act of Satan to just cause havoc in a person's life. Jesus saw Satan was the one who caused the disease in that woman's life. And it prevented her from being all that God wanted her to be, all the serving that God wanted her to serve. It became a stumbling block to the rulers of Israel for them to say, well, you can't heal her on the Sabbath, shifting gears a little bit. It became a stumbling block. Satan, but Jesus said, I see the bonding, or the what's the word? Binding that Satan has put on this woman for 18 years, and he released her. He released her. So Satan can attack not just by lies, but physically attack us. He did it to Job. He did it to this woman. And we can be aware of it as well. Not everyone that's sick or has major health issues or anything like that is because of demonic oppressiveness, but it can't be totally excluded either. And the key is that we keep our eyes focused on God. And that's what that woman did. She saw Jesus, the Messiah, walking the street amongst the throngs of the population, and she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. And the power went out from him and healed her because her faith in him, he knew was there, and he healed her. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. So Jesus saw that he had caused that Satan had caused that disease on her and prevented her from being the person that God wanted her to be. And illnesses, sometimes people, Christians and non-believers, will become absolutely mad at God for the disease or the illness that's in their life. As a believer walking in the light of Christ, there's two ways to look at it. One, I will just trust in you and rely on you. So let's say you've got a health issue. Okay, well, God, if this is Satan's attack on me, you've allowed it because you trust my faith, like Job. He wants us to be faithful through it, right? Or if this is something that God has allowed, like we talked about last week about the beggar that was crippled, and the disciples said, whose fault is that? His sin or his parents' sin? And Jesus said, none. He was born that way for God's purpose, for his glory, right? We can look at it and say, this is what God has allowed in my life, and he wants me to be faithful through that as well. So be faithful if the enemy's thrown it on us and know that that warfare is there, and be faithful if God has allowed it because he knows that it has more confidence in our faith in him than what we do, right? That's what we need to do, and that will bring glory to God. Satan can use the trick of disease to hinder us in our faith or service to God. Look at Peter, what he said or emphasized in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Jesus saw it all over the place, and he was healing people, delivering them. Doesn't mean everybody was in that health situation because Satan put it on them, but he knew those that were in that situation, and he removed that. Peter's telling us that Satan often oppresses people with illness. The good news is that Jesus came to set people free from Satan's oppression. One of my concerns in this message was I don't want anybody that's ill to think that when they leave from here today, oh, that's Satan oppressing me. I mean, I had to ask myself, my health issues, is Satan oppressing me? And you know what? If he is, God still requires me to be faithful. And if he isn't, God knows that I'll be faithful through him. He wants me to be. So faith in God through each and either or situation is key here. So let's not let Satan trick us through lies or angels of light, wolves in sheep's clothing, signs and wonders, or even illness. Let's know God's word and depend on His Holy Spirit and stay strong in our faith no matter what tricks Satan tries to pull on us.
Amen.
Amen. So put your hand up and say, "Stop, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus. No tricks from you today. I know what you're up to. I know what you're up to." You know, like I told the kids, there used to be this little, do they still do it in school? Talk to the hand?
Yeah.
No, they don't do that anymore. That was too long ago, right? Yeah, just talk to the hand. I don't want to hear it. And that's what we need to acknowledge before God. So, yeah, just say stop. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Say stop like that.
Okay. Good. Good. Jesus said, "Don't suffer the little children to come." Right? Out of the babes of mouths. Right? Amen. So, okay. So we understand. Be sharp on the word of God. Be aware of the tactics of Satan's lies. Know that when he's leading us into ungodliness, that it's a trick that tells us it's better for us, when in reality it's disastrous for us. Okay? Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. Father, I know that and you know that Satan doesn't like this type of preaching. He doesn't like the word of God being preached or upheld at all. But he also doesn't like when we stand up specifically to expose who Satan is and what he does. Because any of that exposure can help Christians to be wiser and to be capable even that much more through that wisdom that you give for them to stand. It also enlightens people that are lost to understand that Satan's tricks are there against them. I pray, Father, that if there is anyone that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that they will acknowledge that, that they will come to you and say, "Lord, I am not saved." They might come and say, "Look how bad I've been." Or they might come and say, "I've been in church all my life, and I just know in my spirit that I don't have a relationship with you through faith in Christ as I see in others." So to those that hear this message or read this message later, to those of us here, let us rejoice for those of us that know that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And may those that might question that bring themselves before God and say, "God, I want to make sure that I am yours." And so may they pray and repent of sin and ask you to come live in their life. And you've promised, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you," in Hebrews 13:5. And so, Father, I pray that you honor this. Help us as your children to walk in the day, not in the darkness, to be your people as you would have us to be. The challenge is greater, Lord. I know the biblical history. I know that we can read of horrendous times throughout history upon Christians, but we are in these last days, and we are seeing the world as it is. We are seeing the craftiness of Satan. We are seeing the apathy within the church amongst believers. We do see the church of Laodicea spiritually. But help us as your people to stand bold and to shine bright for you. Take away our fear, our intimidations, and replace it with love and confidence and boldness in you and your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.